Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the Supreme Court case that Texas was involved in, shot down in flames, a thank you 7-2 decision by the folks in robes. But that's not going to stop Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, from wasting more money. Evidently, the Texas governor today announced they're going to spend $250 million as a down payment so they can build the wall. So bad ideas still strong. Bad ideas still strong with the GOP. And this just another one. So the question is, where do we go from here? What was this decision? How good is it? Should we be happy? I'm a little bit happy right now. That's why I've asked Laura Packard to come talk with us. Laura is a stage 4 cancer survivor and the founder of Healthcare Voices. Laura, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So big deal. Is this a big deal? Let's start there.
Yes, it's a big deal. Today, the Supreme Court ruled against the Republican-backed lawsuit that threatened the entire Affordable Care Act. So not all my ex-lawsuits live in Texas, but at least some of them do.
I love that. I wish I'd have thought of that. That is fantastic. I'll tell you, I was shocked, but I was even more shocked at the 7-2 that Clarence Thomas wasn't holding hands with Samuel Alito. That was the surprise for me.
Well, I think it's important to note that, yes, this was a 7-2 verdict, but it's not that there were 7 supporters of the Affordable Care Act. They punted on this one on a technicality. They said that the people suing had no right to sue. They had no legal standing. So they didn't rule on the merits of the case. They just wiggled their way out of addressing it altogether.
I don't care. They lost. And now we live another day, because in my view, how many of these do you have to lose? To me, you lost 3 times. Stop already. Now let's take what was your ideology, because look, the Affordable Care Act, honestly and truthfully, and this is no lie, this was a conservative Republican idea from the get-go. This is who Republicans were back in the early 90s. This was a Heritage Foundation plan. This was their idea, personal responsibility, everyone in, business-friendly mandate, private companies be part of it. This is them. Why can't they get on board and make it better?
Well, one of the reasons why they're fighting so hard is because how the Affordable Care Act is paid for is taxes on the rich and corporations. So if they ever succeeded, they'd be giving their donors a big fat tax break. And that's why the Republicans are so determined to end the Affordable Care Act, even though it means taking away healthcare from their own constituents.
31 million people, the Biden administration said earlier this month, a record 31 million people signed up for the Affordable Care Act this year. And I didn't see the kind of outreach that they did during the Obama years this year. I know Biden tried a little bit, but, after 4 years of Trump doing literally nothing, that to me is extremely impressive.
Yes. And actually, the Biden administration did spend more money. They are putting more effort into getting the word out. Although, as you know, they've only been in power since mid-January. But they've done a lot with the time that they have. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen over 1 million new signups in this special enrollment period.
Now, for me, I'll be honest, there's some things about the ACA I'm not thrilled with. The high deductible plans have to come down. We've got to make it more affordable. We've got to make access better. There are a bunch of things in there that we need to do. But this is something where if we can now admit, you know what, stop with the scheming, stop with the plotting, stop with the ticking bombs, stop with all that, and let's make it better for everybody. Something we can do. And ultimately, we can lower costs of healthcare by doing smart stuff.
Absolutely. And I would wish that all these elected officials, regardless of their party, would work to help their constituents have health care. But it's turned into this partisan battle, even though it shouldn't have been. Republicans get sick, too.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said I'm very lucky and I've been very fortunate throughout all of my working life to have, there's the Cadillac plan and then there's what I have. I have good union, good Teamster union health insurance. When I had my hip replaced back a year and a half ago, it literally cost me $120 out of pocket, and that is it. $20 for the doctor visit, $80 for the hospital stay, and $20 for the physical therapy visit. That's it. I want that for everybody. I want that. That's what we should be striving for. Not these, everyone got to have skin in the game and high deductible, you know, catastrophic plans. No, I want people to have real protection in the moments that they need it so that they don't have to worry about going bankrupt. They don't have to worry about not taking their kids to the doctor because they can't afford it. We need people to get care, and we need it to be affordable, and we need it to not be able to not break the bank. Is that too much to ask?
I agree with you. I mean, these high deductible plans are penny wise and pound foolish, because if somebody doesn't go to the doctor or they don't take their medicine because they can't afford it, it winds up costing everybody so much more in the end. So the savings that people have, the whole skin in the game idea just doesn't work. So, I mean, if you need to see a doctor, you should be able to see a doctor in the richest country in the world. Yep. Why can't we make that for everybody?
No, I needed the hip replaced for 10 years. I held off 10 years. 10 years ago, they said, you should get this replaced. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. Literally, he said, yeah, you'll be back eventually. It took me 10 years to go back. It's not like people go rushing to the doctor to have procedures because, oh, I like it. I mean, there might be one, but I don't think the mass of people, I think most people are like me, will hold off as long as we can. But when I needed it, I was grateful that it wasn't the end of my world. If I had a heart attack tomorrow, I'm not laying on the ground speed dialing looking for who's got the coupon for heart attacks this week.
Exactly. I didn't go through 6 months of chemo for funsies.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many people I've met over the years who the ACA has literally saved their life. And I remember, you know, within 6 months after the ACA passed, we were doing an event. And this couple came over and they said, you know, we would have never gone to the doctor. And, you know, we went to that visit and they found this lump, and that lump turned out to be cancerous and basically saved my husband's life and only cost a couple $100 or a couple $1,000 to get done. And you go, this is what we should be doing more of.
Exactly. And it's a matter of choices. You know, we can choose to live in a country, in a system where billionaires put yachts inside yachts, or we can live in a country where everybody gets the health care they need. It's a matter of choice.
So now where do we go? Now that this is, you know, you say it's off on a technicality, you know, maybe there's going to be another lawsuit. Maybe Texas has got unlimited resources to bring another one. I think they're going to keep going after the wall. Who knows? But where do you see this going from here? Do you see another challenge, or do you think that for now states are going to go, you know what, the Supreme Court, you know, the Trump Supreme Court doesn't seem quite interested in undoing what Congress couldn't do. Do you see more coming? Do you see it finally dying down, and maybe we start talking about how to expand and make it better? Do you see that happening?
Well, I would have thought that after there was a violent insurrection and attempt to overthrow our country, that some Republicans would maybe take a good look at their own party and figure out whether they believe in democracy and a future in America, or whether they believe in something else. But that is not the world we live in. Even despite a trail of destruction several years and hundreds of thousands of lives long, they just doubled down on it. So I don't think that this particular lawsuit will come back the way that it was dismissed by the Supreme Court without standing. But that doesn't mean they won't find something else, because as long as there are people in power that have turned this into a crusade, they'll keep going. They'll just find a different battlefield.
Yeah, stupid me for thinking that, you know, this might be it. This might be the epiphany of going, you know what, we lost. Baseball, there's that three strikes and you're out thing. Maybe this is the end. But you're right. You know, I doubt they will stop. Now, from the other side, from folks who need the Affordable Care Act, what's the marching order going forward? Because I do want to make this better. I do want to make sure that we have options for people who need this. What's the marching order forward from here then?
Well, President Biden's already done some great work with the American Rescue Plan, passing subsidies to make Affordable Care Act insurance more affordable for many more Americans. But that's only for 2 years. So part of the American Families Plan, one of his infrastructure bills, is to make that help permanent. So we need to pass that. And we also need to work on the costs of healthcare in general. I live in Colorado, and our state legislature just passed the Colorado option to have a more affordable health insurance option for Coloradans. And Nevada did something similar in their legislature. So we're seeing states start to tinker with the public option, and we need to keep working on the national level. Although, as you know, with only 50 votes in the Senate, it gets hard.
Yeah. Do you think this is a moment where maybe we return to the idea of community hospitals? When I was a kid, the hospitals were owned by the people. We had community. I was born in a community hospital. Most of the hospitals I knew were, nonprofits. They were funded by the taxpayer, by the local base. It's only been the last, 20, 30 years that we now have this, for-profit healthcare system that's sprung up to feed Wall Street, to feed investors, and to make huge profits for our billionaire class. Do you think this is a moment where states and communities reclaim that infrastructure and, create their own systems to get away from, these massive insurance companies and these greed monsters?
I would hope so. But just like with for-profit prisons, once somebody is making money off of you, they have a lot of money to pay politicians to ignore it. So we've seen the transition of nonprofit health insurance companies into for-profit companies that then give their CEOs billions upon millions and billions of dollars. And we've also seen more recently these venture capital firms, these private equity firms are buying up doctors' offices and private practices and so on, and then jacking up the rates because, Goldman Sachs is more than happy to make a buck off of your suffering if they possibly can. So that's a problem, is now there are more and more entities across our healthcare system that are profiting off of people's misery. And then they're using part of their profits to entrench themselves in the system and buy off people that might regulate them.
Yeah, no more coming in with a chicken to pay the doctor. No more eggs for care. No more bartering. We want cold, hard cash and lots of it. The barter thing's been gone for a long, long time. But you're right. I mean, I had a doctor for years here where I live who had his own office. They had a lot of patients, but just did like a 2-3 doctor office. Got bought up by one of the giant conglomerates, and now it's a machine. As we were before, mm-hmm. He would sit and talk with you, and you really got to know him, and I trust him to this day. Now it's a machine, we're on the mm-hmm. clock. And in fact, they got someone trailing him to keep tabs on you and him, basically being the stenographer in the doctor's office. It's really weird, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just look at good old Senator Rick Scott, who made his for-profit healthcare company made millions off of Medicare fraud, and he's a U.S. senator. So
who said crime doesn't pay?
Crime paid very well for him.
Crazy. I want to get your thoughts on the Sanders idea of moving Medicare down to age 60. I've said it before. I'm a single payer guy. I don't shy away from that. Even though I do have the best health care that money can buy. In fact, I have health care that, a private citizen, small business owner could never get, not even get, no matter how much they spend. And I'm still willing to go, let's look at something that gets everybody the kind of access that I have. I think lowering the Medicare age is a first start, but I wanted to get your thoughts.
I agree in that just in the battles in Nevada and Colorado to pass small reform this year, the Colorado option bill was, I heard, the most lobbied against bill in Colorado history, just millions upon millions of dollars that the hospitals and the insurance companies dumped into Colorado to fight reform. So a single payer system means taking on the insurance companies and the hospitals and providers and pharma and all of that all at once. And that is a very tough battle to win. But if you can eat your elephant bite by bite, you're more likely to get there.
Yeah, that's a big bite. It really is. But at the end of the day, this is one of those things that, you know, when you talk about the legacy that generations have left their children and their grandchildren, making sure health security is something that they have, I think is something that I would like to leave the future. My grandparents left us sound infrastructure, a solid economy with strong unions. We squandered that. There's got to be something going forward that that we leave to the future.
Right. I mean, we pay one of the most out of any other industrialized nation, and the results we get are middling at best, and that's not sustainable.
Yeah, but we love our employer sponsored healthcare, though, Laura. We love our employer sponsored healthcare. At least that's what we're told. Is that actually true? Now, look, I do like my healthcare. I'll be honest with you, but the company pays for it, the union administers it, and we as a union. Demand the best healthcare we can get. So we the customers have say over what we get. It's not like that everywhere else. But everybody I talk to in the private sector, they're like, yeah, the premiums are going up, the deductibles are going up, the co-insurance is going up. I'm going, but you pay a deductible, you pay a premium and a co-insurance. What the hell is that? And it's crazy what they've been able to get away with.
Mm-hmm. And before I started, going into business for myself, I worked for a bunch of different small companies. And every year, often they would change insurance and I would lose access to my doctor. And every year it would cost more and they would cover less. In the time before the Affordable Care Act, the essential health benefits were not included. So things like birth control, you might not get because maybe your company went with a Catholic health plan because it was cheaper. So all of the things that we may have taken for granted in the last few years under the Affordable Care Act were under threat. And it's unconscionable that Republicans would continue to wage this war against our health care.
I'm right there with you. Laura, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the expertise. Today is a good day. Even though it was a technicality, still, I'm going with the good day.
Yes, today was a good day. Just don't assume that they're done because Wile E. Coyote never gives up.
Yeah, well, that there is truth right there. Laura, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good stuff, Laura Packard. Make sure you check out her website, laurapackard.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can do that. But like we said, it's a good day. It's a good day. Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.